stayed mounted and kept lookout from a spur. Now, however, the army hardtack had gotten the better of him. "You men go ahead," he said. "I got personal business." As McGuane dismounted, one man laughed. Another man said, "Go to it, Corporal." Trumbull said, "It's your nerves that got you so damn irregular, Gordon. You have to learn to lighten up a little." The last man swung around in his saddle to smile back at McGuane. "You want Jimmy Boy here to stay behind and wipe your butt for you, Corp? He'd be more than happy to." "Aw, shut up, Decker," Jimmy Boy said as the column drifted out of hearing. "You're the one always wants to play grabby pants every Saturday night." Then they disappeared around a stand of mountain firs. Corporal McGuane tied his horse to a branch and headed through the spare forest covering the hillside, looking for a log. When he found one, he removed his gun and cartridge belt, dropped his trousers, and settled down to business. He wished he would have done it earlier. Now he seemed to have constipated himself. It being only about 30 degrees, it was too damn cold to sit out here long with your privates exposed. The unease McGuane had been experiencing dragged out his constitutional even longer than its postponement had done. When he finally finished, he retrieved a couple of fallen leaves and some sticks with which to wipe himself. Then, with an owlish grunt, looking warily around, he pulled his pants back up and strapped his gun and cartridge belt around his waist. When he'd gotten back on his horse and headed down the trail, he felt considerably lighter, both physically and mentally. Maybe a good constitutional was all he really needed, he mused. But then he saw the column down the grade to his right. They had stopped, and before them stood two men in wool coats and Stetsons. One of the men was half carrying the other, his friend's arm draped over his shoulder as if injured. McGuane halted his horse, his pulse quickening, the old feeling of unease returning with a vengeance. Something was wrong. He could sense it. He looked around at the ridges shouldering above each side of the trail. He was bringing his eyes back down when he saw something flash in a bramble patch. "Hey!" McGuane yelled, giving his horse the spurs and plunging down the bank. He unsnapped the cover over his army-issue revolver and drew the pistol. He yelled again. Three soldiers looked back at him, annoyed. The paymaster and Private Jimmy Donlevy had dismounted and were talking to the injured man and his friend, who now looked toward McGuane, barreling toward them on his horse. McGuane gestured wildly with his arm. "It's a trap, goddammit!" he yelled. "It's a trap! Get the hell out of here!" All the soldiers turned to him, looking skeptical and annoyed. "What the hell's he yelling about now?" they seemed to say. None of them saw the revolvers the injured man and his friend produced from their mackinaws. One man pointed his gun at Trumbull's back, the other at Don Levy's. The soldiers jerked forward an instant before the two staccato pistol shots reached McGuane's ears. A second later, both the sergeant and Jimmy Donlevy stumbled forward, falling.
"No!"
McGuane cried, aiming his pistol, but the other soldiers were between him and the two farmers, so drawing a decent bead was impossible. The other soldiers, slow to react, were turning around now to the source of the gunfire. Awkwardly, confused, they drew their own sidearms, but before they could level them, smoke puffed from the tree and rock-covered slopes on either side of them. Ear-piercing rifle fire exploded all at once, like two bombs on a timed detonator placed on both sides of the trail. The harsh reports echoed in the narrow canyon, the slugs tearing through the mounted soldiers, spitting blood from their wool coats. Their screaming mounts crow-hopped, sunfished, and bucked, throwing the wounded soldiers to the stone-hard ground, where they cursed and cried and stumbled to their feet, only to be cut down again by the crossfire. One of the men, hatless, face and neck bloody, ran back toward McGuane screaming. He'd run only about 15 feet when one of the bushwhackers stepped casually onto the trail behind him, lifted his pistol, and fired. The private